With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back for Season 2 of Hollywood Phonies, the podcast where the fake movies in real movies become real movies from fake movie makers. I'm Ben Vernell.
I'm Tommy Dasilo.
And I'm Adam Knox. When struggling filmmaker Bobby Bowfinger comes across the script for Chubby Rain, he is convinced that it could be a hit film, as long as it has a big-time star attached. He assembles a ragtag crew and sets out to make his masterpiece, featuring Kit Ramsey, the hottest action hero in the world, who is completely unaware that he is taking part in the film.
How are you gonna make the movie with Kit Ramsey? He said no.
You don't think I thought about that? You don't think I worked that out?
We have our actors walk up to him and say their lines, and he's in our movie.
You prefer alien love.
Alien love? Why'd you say alien love?
Strange people are coming up to me on the street and speaking some secret white language that I can't decode.
Chubby Rain isn't just a fake movie within a real movie. It's a fake movie that an entire real movie is focused on. From whiteboard outlines to full scenes, we see tons of story details of Chubby Rain and Bowfinger, but there are still so many questions. Like, what do these aliens want? How is plutonium involved? And will all of these characters end up with names? We'll answer all of those questions and more on today's
Hollywood Phonies!
I got a nose job after season one.
Great script, honey.
Okay, boys, today we are going to put together the outline of the greatest film ever written by an accountant.
The accountant?
Sure.
Yeah, we're going to come up with the full plot of the Ben Affleck film, The Accountant, today.
Well, that is a plot point at the start of Bowfinger. Mm. We find out that he's fallen in love with this script that was written by his accountant.
It's weird because it does seem genuine at the start too. So we all watched Bowfinger for this one because the movie Chubby Rain is featured very prominently in the film.
Yes.
Because it is about that film.
It's weird, eh?
And it's strange that, right at the start, Steve Martin is
Bobby Bowfinger.
Bobby Bowfinger. Steve Martin is Bobby Bowfinger. He
Bowfinger will return in Fake Purse Ninjas.
I kind of want to do a whole episode just talking about Bowfinger itself because it's such a fucking weird movie.
Yeah, we probably should do it on a bonus for Filthy Casual at some point.
Maybe, but he seems to actually like this script.
Yes.
He seems truly to not be lying as he is for the rest of the movie because he's on his own.
Right.
And he seems to like this script. So there's got to be some Chubby Rain as the original script.
Yep.
It appears is all right.
Well, I think he's more of an Ed Wood character where he doesn't know what's good and bad.
Maybe
that's
also
why he's
true.
Unsuccessful is because he also just has bad taste.
But when it comes out,
it's all luck and politics. No, it's not that. It's probably
when we see it at the end.
Sure.
People love it. People are really responding very positively.
That is
it
true.
Then launches him into being able to make other films that seem to have in the world of this film a good budget. So it doesn't seem like it's come out and been like a bit of a The Room or something like that. It seems to legitimately people are like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, that is
so
true.
So we have to keep that in mind, even though they film it in a very unorthodox way and it's...
If you can't be bothered watching Bowfinger,
yep.
Which is fair enough.
Yeah.
They are trying throughout the course of this movie to make this
Chubby
film,
Rain.
Chubby Rain.
No budget.
He says it can get a go from this one producer who doesn't even end up producing it, I don't think. But if he gets Kit
Ramsey,
the biggest action star in the world, to be in it. So they fake this movie. He tells the crew that, oh yeah, Kit Ramsey's agreed.
He's just a very, he's a artiste. He doesn't want to meet the crew, doesn't want to meet his co-stars.
He's eccentric.
He doesn't
quirky.
Want to see the camera. It's this new kind of, his filmmaking.
And so they filming this movie around him without him knowing.
Yeah.
So, you know, going up to him in his everyday life and trying to get him in this movie.
Yeah, yes. Because the whole thing is like, it's an action movie. It doesn't really matter what he's saying or doing. His character spends most of the time kind of running away from danger anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what he says is largely irrelevant.
Yes. And this one is very different to any of the ones we've done so far because it exists. We see footage of
yeah.
it.
Yep.
A lot of footage of it. We have a story outline.
Mm-hmm.
There's not even a poster. We've done it backwards. You don't see a poster for Chubby Rain, I'm pretty sure.
You do.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
see
you
like
do,
a
yeah.
marquee thing
oh,
when they're at the premiere.
And Eddie Murphy's face is in the rain.
He's in a big raindrop. Yeah.
That's
yeah. So
good,
you kind of
yeah.
see that. But you're right. I mean, this is the most we've ever had to go on in an episode of Hollywood Phonies.
Yes.
I was always a bit reluctant to do this one because I thought perhaps we saw
you lasted
too much
out
of
a
it.
Whole six episodes. Wow.
Yeah, I really caved
and
pretty
then
quickly.
Suggested it.
Well, I think I started to get the idea that, like, yeah, I always felt that, like, this would be pointless for us to do because you see so much of it.
Right.
But while it's true that the film is, you know, the film Chubby Rain is in the film Bowfinger so much that the film Bowfinger should almost just be called Chubby Rain.
Absolutely.
It's got more to do with that than it does with the character of Bowfinger.
Yes.
But as we were talking about off air, when we see the film, when we see them making the film, it's hard to believe that they made a whole film in this film.
Totally.
Like, they film it for about 3 days, and this is like, this is kind of the best example of the sort of thing that I'm obsessed with fake movies and real movies. The people who made Bowfinger, you made a movie. You know what it takes. You know
right.
what I mean? You know how to make a movie.
Right.
And this film looks so bad. And when we see what they filmed and we see the premiere, it looks like they've got about 7 minutes of footage.
Yeah.
So we see heaps of it in the film, but we actually don't, we really don't see all that much.
No.
Right. And seeing the storyboard, seeing the plot outline, it's like, okay, I guess there's like 12 scenes, but most of them look like they go for a minute. Like,
yeah.
how right. do you pad that out
and
in 90
yeah.
minutes?
It's very confusing what this movie is about, too, from the bits
right.
that you see. So we're going to have to figure out a lot of it. Because it does look, to be fair, it looks like they shoot extra stuff by
yep.
the time it's in the premiere. Because
that's
they
true.
Get Kit Ramsey
yes.
yelling at the sky, the thing at the end, which is...
Gotcha, suckers.
Gotcha, suckers.
Right.
Mm.
They've
stole
yes.
their lollipops.
They blackmailed him by the end of the film Bowfinger.
Yeah.
And they do film a lot of stuff without him. They have a small cast of other people to film, you know, their own scenes, I guess. But it is largely based around springing a scene on Kit Ramsey
yeah.
in public.
So what I think it's fair for us to do, even though there is so much of the film in the movie Bowfinger, there's so much of Dwight from The Office
mm-hmm.
in Bowfinger, Chubby Rain. But it gets changed
Chubby?
A lot during...
I think he's just...
He's not fat.
Yeah, I think it's his build.
Yeah, maybe.
Stocky Rain.
I'd say he's stocky. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
I don't want to body shame Rain Wilson.
I apologize.
I don't know why. I'm not even a fan. I'm just a good guy.
There's nothing wrong with being chubby. If you feel shame
okay.
for being chubby.
Okay.
Yeah? What about a puppy?
See, I disagree on that point.
They changed the movie a lot during the production of
yep,
it. The
they
final
do.
Product is it's obviously it's very gonzo.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So the final product I
reminds
think,
me of the Muppets.
Yes, we can fuck with it a bit more than maybe makes sense for what's in the movie if we need to. Does that
sure,
make
right,
sense?
Yeah,
right.
Because you're right. They do get Kit on board by the end of the film.
Yep.
By blackmailing him.
Yep.
So we can have stuff that his character is doing in this. That you don't that wouldn't have to have been done in a gonzo way.
Exactly.
They have gotten back
yeah.
in to do
exactly.
this stuff.
They also, draft in who ends up being his brother.
Yep.
So, and we don't see much with him filming. We see like one action scene and maybe one other dialogue scene. But you would assume if you have a guy who looks exactly the same as the guy that you were pretending was in the film, you'd use him a bit more than that as well.
The ultimate stuntman.
Yeah.
So, here's what we know.
Yep.
Broadly about the movie.
Okay.
It is a sci-fi movie.
Yes.
Aliens come to Earth in the rain.
Yep.
Yes.
They can take over people's bodies.
Yep.
It appears.
Yeah.
There's some stuff in the movie where it seems as though people, their skin starts melting and that sort of thing. And it's not clear if they are taking over their brains.
Mm.
I don't know if that happens. But
or if they just implant something that kills them.
If they just sort of infect them.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Our hero is Keith Kincaid.
Keith Kincaid.
Played by Kit Ramsey.
Yep.
He played seems by Eddie Murphy. To have some sort... but played by Eddie Murphy and Eddie Murphy. And Eddie Murphy. And...
Should this be like a Kit Ramsey is playing like multiple characters?
I mean,
in the
now
film?
That we've got him.
Once they get him on board.
And you've got his brother there to do stand in for the multiple if he has two
right.
versions
right.
of himself
so
in
it's
one
like
take.
Kit Ramsey and Kit Ramsey,
Ramsey.
And Kit Ramsey
yeah.
and Jif Ramsey and Kit Ramsey.
And Jif Ramsey.
Yes, yeah. You're not going to lean too much on Jif, but he will play at least two roles.
He wants to spread his wings.
Yeah.
We know the CIA is involved.
Yep.
There's correct. A character called, like, Dolores Umbridge or something.
Todd Delmonico.
I was close.
No,
driving his Buick.
Yes.
Kit Ramsey or Keith Richards. What's his name?
Keith Kincaid.
I'm going to have difficulty with the names.
Keith. In the movie, he's Keith.
Keith has plutonium. At some point.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the CIA kind of wants it back or something.
Well, yes. When you said the aliens can make people's face melt, a detail that's mentioned is that the character that does that, they mention that that's happening because they had sex with one of the aliens.
Yes.
So that seems to be some sort of sexually transmitted alien disease that makes your face melt after you've done a root with them. So
Species.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's
which would have come out like 2 or so years before this,
okay,
I think.
Maybe. Yeah, right.
The big plot point at the end is that the aliens can be stopped by Keith Kincaid getting to a giant antenna.
Yes.
That's how he's going to stop them.
It's going to broadcast something.
Yeah, I don't think they really go into what that's going to be
used for. And it's an alien antenna as well.
It's an alien antenna.
It's not a human broadcast thing.
Yep.
It's an alien antenna of
okay.
some kind.
Right, on top of the Griffith Observatory, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right. we've got our end point there.
Yep.
And then we also have a few... Yeah, just very kind of vague scenes. There's Keith Kincaid being stalked through a car park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Carol.
Yeah.
In the mood. So there's an older woman who's like mad at Keith.
Yeah.
She's like, you came here from Wisconsin or something like that.
Yeah.
She's like, you would rather love an alien than me.
She
so,
seems like
yes.
a scorned ex-lover kind of thing.
And then you've got Heather Graham playing like a Swedish woman. Or some sort of European accent.
Mm-hmm. Who she's also trying to stop the aliens and is trying to get Keith to help.
She seems to be in support of Keith.
Yeah.
She gives him his... she tells him he's forgotten his briefcase
yes.
early.
Yes,
so, okay.
That's
so
about the extent of what we see.
That's pretty much it. And so, early question here, right? If this older woman is annoyed at Keith for running off, saying you'd rather be with an alien.
Yep.
And we know that having sex with the aliens causes your face to melt.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening there, you know?
He's okay. never...
He hasn't sealed the deal with the aliens yet.
Maybe Keith is a virgin.
Maybe.
Right?
Okay.
So he's being accused of... She's accusing him of fooling around with the aliens.
But he can prove that he hasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because look
he's
at
not
my
dead.
Face.
Yeah.
I look like a goddamn movie star.
Yeah.
But he's also being co-opted in to help stop them.
Yes.
Right? Which if he's been, you know... Fooling around with one
okay.
of them.
Here's an option.
Okay.
If the alien disease... So they come down in the rain
yep.
initially. We know that. And they infect people. And maybe those people, if you then have sex with those people, that's when you die.
Okay.
And the aliens come down and they're like, we can put a few in the rain, but
yeah.
then we've mainly got to take over by fucking.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that was
let's
my...
have a little fun. And
yep.
so maybe Eddie Murphy's character, Keith Kincaid,
yes.
he is immune to it. Maybe he's immune to the STD.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Or STI.
For the star of the movie to be the special guy, yes.
Right.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's how come he can love the aliens, and maybe they die if he fucks them.
Okay, right.
All right.
Or it could just be...
I don't know how far we want to go down that story route, because at some point we're getting to the point where two people don't want the other one to fuck them.
I know, I was going to say, yeah. He's going to fuck someone to death at
yeah,
some point.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know how we can... So, yeah,
maybe
he discovers this by, like, aliens coming down And, well, so the it's mentioned that the very start of the film is this CIA agent, Todd Delmonico, driving to a meeting.
Okay.
We see him in the beginning. So I'm thinking that the CIA knows that these aliens exist.
Right.
But no one else does.
Right? And they're so they're trying to keep it hush.
Yeah. But so who's Keith Kincaid? Is he just an average dude?
Well, he has plutonium. He has a briefcase.
Yes.
Those are the two things we know about him. Yep. Maybe he doesn't have plutonium at the start of the movie. Yep. He gets it for
some
reason.
Yeah, true.
But, so is he? Because I was thinking, I like the idea of him being immune to the alien curse.
Yes.
Maybe it's like it's known that, you know, that if you have sex with the aliens, this will happen to you. And he's lost the will to live. So he's like, what a way to go out. Okay. One of these aliens.
So he's going to do like a Leaving Las Vegas.
but then it's going to turn out that there were no bullets in the gun.
Yeah, right.
So he roots one and then he's like, oh, my face isn't melting. My arm's not falling off.
Okay.
I must be immune.
It's because of my job at the power plant where I take plutonium to work in my briefcase every day.
Oh, okay.
But the day that he fucks the alien, he's left his briefcase at home.
Yes.
You know, Heather Graham tries to bring it to him. So the aliens, plutonium is their kryptonite.
Okay.
Much like for humans.
Yeah.
We have so much in common. Let's fuck.
But yes, you're right. Just due to handling it for such a long time, he's become a bit irradiated. He's immune.
Yeah. So later on, the CIA, right, wants to get the plutonium back off of Kincaid.
Yep.
So the CIA, clearly in that case, wants this alien invasion to happen.
Yes. That's what I got from this. It's a bit of like a conspiracy theory, you know, like they, for whatever reason, they're okay with it happening.
They're trying to cull a bit of the population, maybe.
The CIA agent, he is very antagonistic towards Keith Kincaid in the clips that we see.
Maybe. Mm. The CIA already knew about the aliens. They want to learn from the aliens, get some alien tech. They want to have good relations. So they don't want to like stop them. They're like, okay, we'll let some people get taken over by aliens so we can have a dialogue.
I could imagine that. Okay, so we open up and the Don Delmonico.
Yeah. Todd Delmonico.
Todd Delmonico.
Dom DeLuise.
Dom DeLuise. Todd Delmonico is on his way to this meeting.
Yeah.
We see him driving with his CIA gear on. Yep. He's got the hat.
The trilby.
The trilby.
Yep.
He's got a rack of trilbies in the back of his car.
Yes.
He's driving a trilby truck down to the meeting, and it's in the desert.
Right.
Because it's, you know, a CIA alien meeting.
Yeah, of course.
It's in just flat plains desert.
Right.
The two cars pull up, they get out, and all these trilbies fall out of his door.
Of course, yes.
Yep.
And he's saying, all right, well, where do we stand? The other alien, the alien who's gotten out of the car, but is in human form.
He's like
in the desert.
Yeah, a couple of meters away, I guess. I don't know.
Just anywhere. It's all. And they're meeting in the desert because it can't rain in the desert, so the aliens can't invade during this neutral ground meeting.
We find out later.
Yeah.
He takes his trilby off to kind of fan himself, and there's just a second trilby underneath that.
Yeah, smaller trilby.
Yeah. That's actually, you know, pulling his hair and making him do all the CIA stuff.
He's getting ratatouille'd by a trilby.
He's getting ratatouille'd.
But so the alien's like, we'll give you technology, but here's the rub. This is what we're going to ask for.
Here's the bargain.
We're going to rain down a bunch of aliens. And then those aliens are going to fuck a bunch of people and they're going to die.
Yep.
That's the bargain.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, why?
Well, it's just the cost of doing business.
That's how we eat. We're weird aliens. That's our food or whatever.
Yep.
It's just what we want from your planet in return for our technology. The Apple iPhone.
Oh!
Okay. Yeah.
You're going to have to sacrifice a few for the good of the many.
Or I guess this is like 99, so the Apple iMac.
Okay.
The original colorful, or an iPod, or...
iPod, yeah, yeah.
What's a fun technology from the early 2000s?
I think Apple iPod's good, right? That came out a few years later.
Yep.
So they're getting it early. CIA getting it early.
What if it's the Macs that had the colorful back?
Yeah.
From Zoolander.
Are they out by now?
They're out
by
then.
Oh, they're out, okay.
Yeah. 2001, you're looking at the mini disc... maybe.
Ooh, oh, I love
couple
that.
Years out, maybe yeah. The mini disc.
The mini disc.
The mini disc is good because like we can have a little thing at the end being like these will be popular forever.
Yeah. Or mini disc technology.
You think it's the mini disc technology, right?
Okay.
But later on, we're going to find out something different.
All right. Okay. Sure.
So they
meet in the desert.
All
right.
Think about it. All the music that you want, it can hold more than a CD.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is sit there and just wait for it all to record onto the mini disc in real time, what tapes used to be.
But it's in slightly higher quality.
Yeah. Yes. And it's bigger than a tape.
Yeah.
It's bigger than
but
a tape.
It's also more delicate.
Yeah.
We'll give you this in exchange for.
We won't give you the mini disc player.
No, just the mini disc.
You can reverse engineer it. Yeah.
You can figure it out.
The plans, like the, you know, how to make it.
Sure, sure.
If you want this mini disc, you have to allow. And the CIA has been known to do this plenty of times.
Absolutely.
Allow a country to get literally fucked for their own purposes.
Yes.
So this bargain gets made, opening of the film.
People hated us for MK Ultra. But that was because they weren't getting any kind of music-based technology out of it.
Yeah.
Well, they were getting a lot of stuff from the 60s, you know, like people on LSD were making some good music.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah, that's very
this
true.
Is the future of that. MD Ultra is going to be just as good.
Yes.
So
MD Ultra.
MD Ultra.
Yes.
MD Ultra is a go. They
so
shake
that's,
on it.
Cold open.
Cold open.
Cold and open. Then, live from New York. And then it's Chubby Rain.
Well, then I think
the
I think
alien
it's,
or the
they look,
CIA agent says this deal's going to go and nobody can stop us.
Yeah.
Cut to Keith Kincaid.
Yep. Mm. Walking down the street, bit of a rain cloud overhead.
Yeah.
Right.
He's never liked rain.
Yeah.
He's got a big raincoat.
Huge brolly. Yeah. Huge jacket.
Running to get inside.
Giant gum boots.
Running to get inside, but he's got his Walkman in his pocket, and the running is causing it to skip. He's like, oh, fucking hell. This is a pain in the ass.
If only there was a better way.
Yeah. We're giving him an internal conflict.
You've got to love a main character who just like has some stake with like literally everything that's been mentioned in the movie already.
Yes.
God, I hate the CIA.
And he's
he's reading a book about MK Ultra as he's like running as well.
I hope I don't forget my briefcase at any point. He just lists everything. He's like, so he sits down. He's in Wisconsin and he sits down with Carol.
Right.
And he's like, listen, Carol, it's over. I've gotten a job offer out in LA working at that plutonium power plant I've always wanted to work at.
Yep.
P3, the plutonium power plant. And she's like, is that quicker to say? No one know what you're talking about. He's like, yeah, all right. I won't call it that ever again. But it's got to be over. I've really enjoyed my time in Wisconsin working.
They're eating a big cheese platter, I assume, because they're in Wisconsin, the home of cheese.
Is that the home of cheese?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they're eating cheese then.
Yeah. And like,
they're getting sicker and sicker during this conversation because they're wolfing.
I think Milwaukee, Wisconsin is like cheese and beer, I think. They're probably having like big steins of beer.
Big stein of beer, just like big plate with just heaps of different cheeses that they're just eating with a knife and fork. Like a conventional meal.
Exactly.
Fair enough. And then
some poutine, probably.
Yeah. They fondue get that from up north that comes down. Poutine? That's a Canadian thing.
Yeah, it is, it is.
Yeah. It comes
but
on...
Big, it's cheese curds. You know, so there's been some cross-pollination.
I see. There's a toasted cheese sandwich
exactly.
as well.
And I love the fondue pot in the middle.
fondue pot.
They're dipping cheese into cheese.
Yeah.
The stein is full of just fondue.
Yeah.
They pick up like a big block of cheese and then pour some parmesan on the top. And then
I guess they're probably, Eddie's wearing his fat suit because like he's only eating cheese.
Right. He's like, I've gotten so fat living here in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And I've gotten a new job. I've enjoyed my time in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Working as a broadcaster,
But
I don't need that skill anymore. I've gotten my real job.
I finally finished my degree in
plutonium.
Plutonium handling.
Nuclear science.
I'm moving out to the coast. Or where's the CIA based?
Virginia.
Maybe he's moving to Virginia.
Langley,
then.
Right?
Langley, Virginia. Is that the CIA or the FBI? Langley,
That's the CIA.
What's the Pentagon?
I don't know. That's the chiefs of staff, I think.
And I don't think this movie would know either, so it's fine. He's moving to wherever to work for the plutonium concern.
Yeah.
But then it's very clearly Griffith Observatory, so should it just be in LA?
Sure. He's moving to LA.
He's moving to LA.
He's got a job in plutonium. That's been his dream forever. Yep. And he has to move out. And he's like, I know you're a cheesehead. Carol, and she's like, I'm a what? He's like, yeah, I know, it sounded weird coming out of my mouth, but like, you're, I know you don't want to move away from Wisconsin, so it's over.
Now, can you pass the baby bocconcini?
Yeah.
Just nibbling on
that. Is there a Disney World in LA or in California?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disneyland.
Well, maybe the Plutonium.
Oh, my God.
That's a stretch. But we could do a nearby. Stretch.
We did a Disneyland one of these already.
True.
Disney World and Time Loops are on our forbidden list.
It's just a Disney-funded Plutonium lab.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a picture of Pluto on the side.
Sure. Yeah. Just his knee, specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
And someone trying to remember it. So it says Plutonium because they think it's the dumbest people work there.
And they think it looks tasty, so it's yum.
It's like
Plutonium.
Right. It's like a catchphrase sign instead of a regular word.
Yeah,
Burjo made it. So he gets out and he's like, I broke up with you. She takes it badly. She's not happy about it.
And sweeps all the cheese off the table.
Yeah.
And they quickly bring over more cheese because they're like, we don't want to see a Wisconsinite without cheese.
Yeah.
He gets into a taxi to go straight to the airport.
Yep.
And she stands outside of the cheese shop.
The breakup at the dinner and then straight out.
I'm out of the state.
I think that is a running theme with our movies as well. It's just like a breakup and then they move to the other side of the country
because
immediately
he's out before she can walk out of the cheese shop and stand outside looking at the taxi driving off as it slowly starts to drizzle.
Yes.
And then we kind of pull out. The camera goes up towards the sky where the rain clouds are.
Yeah.
Goes above the rain clouds. Yes. And you see a big mothership.
Yes.
Up there.
Yeah.
Chubby rain.
Boom. Yep.
Gets written on the screen.
A question I have.
By a nearby teen who's graffitiing.
A question I have regarding the aliens coming down in the raindrops is... Are they just like maybe, you know, 10 aliens that are just like, we want to go down to Earth and that's just how we do it? Or are we to believe that every time it rains, every single raindrop has an alien in it? What volume of alien life on the planet at this point are we talking about?
It could be a lot of aliens in every raindrop, but they only work if they get in your mouth or something like that.
But they wouldn't all just be... Because like what... They die if they hit the ground, you know?
They die.
Know.
They're taking the risk.
Okay.
If they hit a person, then that's how they possess the body. That's how they take the person over.
I like if they hit a person's tongue.
Sure.
Like, I think the mouth has to be open.
Right.
And sort of up a bit.
If we have... And then if it's a kid, it just doesn't work. Because kids are often the ones who have their mouths open, but it just doesn't work. Because of the rest of the plot of this film, they can't infect kids.
No, they can all be kids, but...
No, they can't be kids.
No one's fucking the kids, so the kids aren't dying.
This is dangerous territory.
Yeah, because like, how did Jimmy Savile become an alien? Like, I don't want to.
And why did that kid's arm fall off?
Yeah. It has to be a kid who. It has to be something that kids wouldn't do.
Okay.
Okay. If the rain hits,
they're already late for work, and then they're getting rain.
The rain's got to be annoying.
The rain hits their taxes.
Well, we can also just have sort of a tax return. We can have a sequence here of like, because the movie gets
To have a sequence.
The movie gets a bigger budget. We could go into the alien spaceship and show all of the little tiny aliens like suiting up and putting their
getting into their little raindrop pods.
Sure. Yeah,
so we can see them go.
They all
down
look like Crazy Frog to me for some reason.
Okay. I don't mind that at all.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, but tiny little, obviously microscopic versions.
All right, everybody, we're about to go down. Start your engines.
Okay.
The second movie that Eddie Murphy would have been in with doop dip doop da dip doop doop doop.
Yes.
We go away. It's a while later.
Okay. So we've seen the rain.
We've seen the rain. It started to go down. Carol will be an alien later on.
Okay.
So
is she an alien later on? Is that what happens?
That was my impression.
I don't think it's explicitly said one way or the other.
Yeah.
I think because what I'm thinking is that bit where she confronts him at the restaurant.
Yes.
That's the alien like trying to fuck someone.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So she's
but
trying
through
to
the
get
guise
him back,
of
yelling
being,
at him.
Yeah. Okay,
and she does
okay.
get decapitated by the end of this film.
Yeah.
By Heather Graham's character.
Exactly.
She has to be like evil in some way. For, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. On the rooftop, she cuts her head off very graphically.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think Carol has to be an alien pursuing Keith Kincaid.
Yep.
So we could cut forward a few months later or whatever, and Keith's been working at his job for
I wanted to cut to the taxi arriving in LA. He's just driven across country.
It's just
he didn't go to the airport.
Expensive taxi in the world. Okay.
He gets out. He takes off the fat suit. He wasn't actually. He just was wearing a fat suit in Wisconsin.
He doesn't like cheese at all. He was just pretending. He was living a lie the whole time he was in Wisconsin. The taxi driver's like, okay, that'll just be. And he hits the meter. He's like, $87,000.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I work in plutonium. Plutonium.
Yeah. Keep the change. That's true. He would be rich.
So he has to meet Heather Graham at some point.
Yes.
And I think form a relationship with her
because
she is running after him out of his house with the briefcase.
Do we want to say that she works at the plutonium place as well?
Maybe. Maybe they're both immune or something.
Yeah.
Because in this scene, this is like the first scene that they film in Bowfinger of Chubby Rain. She is chasing after a limousine.
Yes.
And she's going, Keith, you forgot your briefcase. And they film that as Kit Ramsey is leaving his real life mansion in a limousine. So Keith Kincaid, very wealthy.
Yes.
For that to have context in the film has to be, like big mansion being driven around in a limo.
So maybe we cut, this is like a while later, right?
He's really climbed the ranks
at the
plutonium factory. He's now he's now the head of it.
Head of plutonium.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why he's immune. He's got a head of plutonium.
So maybe Heather Graham is actually, I guess, his assistant or something because he has to be able to fuck others to find out that he's immune.
Yep.
As well.
And and she's at his house, so it's one or the it's either they're together or she's his assistant.
Yeah.
But she's in love with him.
Okay.
They end up together by the end of the movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Assistant who's pining for him, but he's you know. Yeah,
he's living that big plutonium life.
He's playing the field.
We've gone forward in time, and
I was tied down for too long with just one cheese-eating bitch back in Wisconsin. Yeah. I want to spread my wings.
Yes,
I want to live that LA plutonium lifestyle.
So we've cut forward ages later.
Yeah, a decade maybe.
He's got a big revolution in plutonium.
Decade
maybe.
Maybe. Big revolution in plutonium is happening. Okay. He's going to Plutonicon.
Oh, great.
To show it off.
Yes.
Right? Yep. So that's where we can see him getting the adulation as new head of plutonium. In the plutonium world, he's a big cheese, which is what he used to eat, but now he isn't.
Yeah. And they keep calling him that. And he's like, I'm not that anymore.
No, I'm the big plutonium.
I left that life behind.
Call me the big plutonium.
Yeah.
And enough time, if we're jumping forward in time, enough time has passed by this point that I reckon, guess what's made it to market? A revolution in personal music delivery.
The mini disc.
People have them now, right? If we jump forward in time a
bit. Yeah, okay.
Okay, they're being advertised. They're on their way.
Coming soon.
Yeah,
We see a few driving past like a bus ad for like the coming soon.
Yeah.
The mini disc.
Yes.
And so, that is coming up, but the Alien deal hasn't quite been finalized
yet. They haven't inked it yet.
Okay.
Both their lawyers are still looking over the contracts.
Well, they've got to fuck more. They haven't reached their quota.
Yeah, right, sure.
You know? So they're holding off. They haven't given over the technology yet because they're like, we need a bust a certain number of times.
The aliens have got to get theirs.
Yeah, sure.
Before you get your taxi money home.
Right.
Okay.
So they're at Plutonicon.
Yep.
It's clear that Keith Kincaid is like the big name in plutonium. He's walking in. He's like Iron Man.
Yeah.
Everyone's like... printing out signs that say, can we take a photo of you?
Yes,
and
yes.
And they're like... when he agrees.
From their little Polaroid Instax camera.
Mr. Kincaid, are you going to get a new mini disc player when they're on the market? And he's like, it's not to do with plutonium, but yeah, I'm looking forward to him.
Yeah.
He
walks in the door and it's like he's glowing. It's like, oh. And then you look around and everyone's glowing because they're all working with plutonium. It's like, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I've got the big news in plutonium. And he starts looking in his limo and he's like, oh, no. Oh, fuck, I forgot my briefcase.
Oh.
I must have left it back at the house.
Yeah.
If only someone had run out to tell me. So he's just about to go on stage when he realizes this too. So he gets up there.
Do you think the briefcase had his speech notes?
Or maybe the block of plutonium that was going to be the thing.
Yeah.
Whatever MacGuffin it was.
I don't know. I think both of those things would have been in the briefcase, right?
Yes.
It's all of it.
It's all of it. Yeah. That's what a briefcase is for.
Yeah. Maybe a pen. Do you think a pen was in the briefcase?
An apple? A little snack?
Some
just blank paper to make more notes.
Yeah.
Apple rattling around in the briefcase next to the plutonium.
Yeah.
I don't mind that at all.
Okay, so we open. Well, he does know. He's like, well, my whole day's ruined here.
So he has to get on stage, though, and he's like, hello, everybody. I'm Keith Kincaid.
Goes into crowd work immediately.
Yeah.
What's your name? What do you do? I work in plutonium. Ah, fuck.
Plutonium.
Me too.
What's your favorite rod?
Well, probably plutonium.
Stuart for me. Get out of here.
He's like...
The Rod Stewart convention's next door.
The big new thing in plutonium is going to be coming up real soon, and he's flubbing. Everyone's like, what's going on here?
He's flubbering.
They're like, yeah, flubber got invented down the road at FlubberCon. What's Plutonicon going to come back
this
with?
This is just, they're on Convention Center Mile, where there's just like... dozens of them all in a row. There's a Rod Stewart one. There's a Flubber one. Yeah.
Get them all together. That's a good time.
The cast of Dawson's Creek is talking about what's next down the road. And he fucks it.
Yeah.
He tries to wing it, and he's like, we're going to have two-tonium. It's plutonium two. He's fucking it up.
He's forgotten his entire job.
Well, because his assistant's been doing it for him.
Okay.
That's the thing. Like, he's lost touch with the work at this point.
Right.
So he fucks it up and he gets off and they're like, God damn it, Keith Kincaid. You're never going to be broadcast on Plutonium Network again.
Okay.
You're old news, Keith Kincaid. Mm-hmm. You fucked it. This was your big shot. And now your name's mud in plutonium.
Yeah.
He's like, plutonium's normally in mud. That's how we find it. And they're like, none of your great jokes, Keith Kincaid.
And he's like... He's sweating so much because he's botched the speech. And then we see there's like someone in the crowd who's like, wow, he's sweating so much. It looks like it's raining on his head. You know, a little nod to the title, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Just, you know. They're really big raindrops too, if that was rain.
God damn it.
If that were to be rain.
And we see one woman in the audience looking at him very intently.
Okay.
And so we got cut to a bar down the road later and he's like, leave the bottle. And it's just a bottle of beer.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to. That's the amount of it you're meant to drink.
But then the camera pulls out a little bit and it's not actually a bar. It's like a booth at BarCon. That's at one of the convention centers.
He's drinking at BarCon. And that girl comes up to him and she's like, oh, I'm sorry about your speech, but I thought you were really brave up there. And he's like, really? And then they go to HotelCon and they spend the night together.
Yes.
They make a stop at Prophylactic Con on the way.
Yeah.
And so on. And he wakes up the next
day. It breaks. They got to go to Morning After Pill Con.
The last time I heard about a stomach full of cum, I was at Rod Stewart Con.
So, there's so many.
Because that's where they talk about
him having a. Well, I'm loving this movie.
Why do they have
the best one we've ever done already?
Why do they have so many convention series? Like, well, I was actually at Convention Con the other day, and they were saying the conventions are really. But he has sex with this girl.
Okay, yeah,
nice.
And in the morning, wakes up and he's like, oh, okay. Well, that was a bad night, but at least you know this was fun. And then he looks over and he sees that she's staring at him.
Okay,
eyes wide open, and she's like, how do you feel? He's like, yeah, all right. Not like amazing, but like a 6 out of 10.
Yeah. Didn't sleep great.
No.
Want to ask me why? Smell my fingers?
Yeah.
He's like, are you a fucking moron?
She stands up and she's like, yes, you're feeling good now, but you must be feeling bad soon, right? He's like, no, I'm all right. I'm doing okay.
Skin doesn't feel like it's about to start melting off your body?
Not some sort of alien shit happening to you?
You sure you're not infected with an alien disease that's going to kill you soon?
Oh, I think I'm all right. These are weird questions, but, you know, we barely know each other, so I suppose that, you know, that's what... You roll the dice on a thing like this.
Yeah. I am feeling a bit... I've got a bit of a big day, so if you wanted to maybe just, you know, get...
And he's like, so I'll just, I'll see myself out. I'm going to go. My car's outside. I parked it in the parking lot outside. Yep. So I'm going to get out of here. He walks out and then behind him, he hears clop, clop, clop of high heels.
Okay.
And we get this bit.
Oh, this is this bit.
Clop, and he's looking behind him. He's like, what the fuck? This girl's crazy. Oh, no, I've gone home with this crazy person.
Yep.
And clop, clop, clop. And then he gets into his car and she starts chasing like the Terminator.
Yeah, yes.
After this car. Because she thinks he's about to melt and be the alien spawn or whatever happens.
Right. Yep, mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
And we get basically that scene from Terminator 2.
Sure, okay.
Yeah. We could just cut that scene into hooks.
We could just, like, or just put her face over, what's his name? Patrick, yeah. Whoever.
But this, in the film, isn't this Carol?
It's not, it's the dog.
Yeah, but the
main... they film it with Carol later.
Yeah. No, because they've just done the... Yeah, they've just used the dog to get the sound effects.
That's true.
But then they do the cutaways of her.
Well, Carol is also an alien.
But she's followed him. She's followed him.
I reckon he walks out the door of the hotel and the other girl calls on the phone. It's like, yeah, he hasn't like dissolved yet. Something weird is going on. Can you track him, make sure he actually bites it?
Yeah. It didn't see, and her face drops when she makes the call. She's like, it didn't seem to work, blah, blah, blah. And she's doing it real alien.
Yes.
And then it's Carol.
It's Carol. Carol's on the case.
Carol is like the alien boss because she was one of the first to be invaded back in Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's like, fine, I'll do it myself.
Yes.
So I guess he doesn't realize it's Carol.
No, I don't think he ever sees her. Right?
No, he doesn't see her.
No.
So he gets in his car, drives away. Bit of Terminator 2 maybe.
Yeah.
But you don't see that it's Carol. And then we, the audience, see, oh, it's Carol.
She's on the hunt. Yeah.
Afterwards.
She steps out of the parking garage door and is like, bangs her fist on the sign. Like,
oh. He gets home and he's like, Heather Graham's character, I forgot my briefcase yesterday. It all fucked up. Why didn't you give me my briefcase? She's like, I tried to run after you. You left it behind. I really tried. And he's like, damn it.
Also, you went to Plutonicon and then didn't come back to the office. Like, yeah. I've been waiting for you. Where have you been?
He's like, I'm a bit tired. Ask me why. And she looks dejected. She's sad because she's secretly in love with him.
She gets this. She picks up on the very subtle thing he's doing.
Yeah. Like, no one would ever really be able to tell in normal circumstances if you're trying to brag about
you
fucking.
You were up all night pining over some other girl, weren't you?
And
I was
so
pining in her.
Oh, God.
Hell yeah.
I guess he could have been pining over her as well.
Yeah.
Pining means I don't know what.
We see that she's in love with him. And he's like, it was the weirdest experience.
Yeah.
She was like really strange afterwards. I'm going to go to this restaurant and kind of try to look after myself. It's a shame that I couldn't bring this briefcase with the brand new invention, which was portable plutonium.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which he's been carrying around to prove it's safe. Little does he know, it's made him immune to alien sex stuff.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So he goes to that cafe, then Carol approaches, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the next bit.
He's sitting, he's there with his, in reality, he's there with his agent who leaves, so he is alone for this, right?
Yeah,
he's just sitting there trying to get his head back together.
Yeah, yeah.
And up comes Carol from Wisconsin. He's like, what are you doing here? You're from years ago.
Yeah.
I thought we broke it off. And she's like, I want you back. You'd rather love an alien than me. And he's like, that doesn't make sense in the context we've set up so far.
Yeah, what'd she say to him? When you left, it wasn't because you wanted to raise soybeans.
Okay.
So that's what he said.
They were trying to make some soy cheese in Wisconsin. And
he lied about what his job was going
to
be.
Yeah.
Oh, he wanted to raise soybeans.
No. When you left, it wasn't because you wanted to raise soybeans. So I think he said
that's
to
his
her,
cover story.
Yeah. When he left Wyoming.
Yeah.
Right.
He said to
Wisconsin.
Her, Wisconsin. Sorry. Well,
is it Wisconsin or Wyoming?
Well, here's what I wrote down. Yeah. When you left, it wasn't because you wanted to raise soybeans. Why? Why? Come back to Phoenix. Let me in on whatever this is. You've come down from Wyoming with your UFOs. You prefer alien love.
Okay, so we've got the wrong city.
All right, we've got... it's just a setup at the beginning anyway.
That could just be like just sort of colloquial Wisconsin turn of phrase too.
Yeah.
It could be like, well, we're not here to fuck spiders. It could be when you came here, it wasn't because you left Wyoming to raise soybeans.
Yeah.
Why aren't you in Phoenix? Is that what she said? He's supposed to have been going to Phoenix to raise soybeans.
No, it's come back to Phoenix.
Okay.
Arizona?
Which is come down from Wyoming with your UFOs.
I think this is all metaphor.
So maybe...
Yeah.
Maybe, okay, we could make it work.
Yeah.
So back in the scene with Heather Graham, the assistant, he's like,
are we doing rewrites?
We are.
Okay. Okay. First time we've ever done this.
That's what they do in
Bowfinger?
Bowfinger.
Yeah.
He says to her, I fucked it up there. I didn't have my notes and I hate public speaking, so I fucked it up. Because the invention I wanted to show off was this portable plutonium pack that lets you talk to aliens.
Okay.
You communicate via plutonium
with
aliens. I've been talking to them.
Okay.
Maybe it's that and that's where the alien thing comes from. Who knows?
Yeah. What does she say exactly?
She says...
You've come down from Wyoming.
Let me in on whatever this is. You've come down from Wyoming with your UFOs. You prefer alien love.
Hmm. Maybe she thinks that he knew that he was fucking an alien the night before.
Yep.
And...
Yep. But she does. This doesn't really feel like
the hotel
words of
was
someone
called...
who's been possessed by an alien.
Maybe she's just talking about his assistant who she reckons he's fucking, and she's just calling her an alien because she's Swedish.
Oh, she's an illegal alien.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
She's
all
just
right.
being
and
like.
The hotel was called the Hotel Wyoming. He's
okay.
come down from that the previous night.
Yep.
Or that morning, I guess.
Yep.
The soybeans are his balls.
Yep.
So,
or it could have been a. Cover story.
I think that's fine. He said when he was leaving,
yeah.
he just made up. He's like, oh, I'm going to go grow soybeans.
Yeah.
Sure.
I have to do this.
Yeah. Just a lie.
Just a lie.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, that works.
And then
that
come back to Phoenix is like a... She's using it as a symbol of their love. And
her maybe... last name is Phoenix.
Perfect.
Or it could be because like when she took over Carol Body, right?
Yes.
She... doesn't have Carol's memories.
Oh, maybe she'd like tried to read a diary or
she's
something.
She's pieced this stuff
all.
Together from stuff around Carol's house, fucking Usual Suspects.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so she's gotten it a bit wrong, which is how Keith Kincaid
figures out that she's not who she's.
He thinks, what are you talking about? You hate Arizona.
So double rewrite. She's just fucked it up. Not us.
Exactly. The alien has gotten it a bit wrong.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that's where he's like, you're not Carol. What's going on here?
Yeah.
She thinks maybe he knew he was fucking an alien. She's tried to piece together all this other location-y soybean information from looking around Carol's office.
So
she wants
to like get him back home. She wants to like get in good with him because she's worked out that he's immune to the alien... fucking face melting stuff and she's like, we need to study this, we need to work out how this has happened.
At the very least she wants to get him to come back to her, to get on side with her, whether it's to study him or to kill him, you know, because they're in public at the moment.
So how about this?
So
after this the CIA guy comes up to him, Todd McGibblegobble, and is like, give us the plutonium, right? That's what happens in that scene. He's like, give us the plutonium, Kincaid, we know you've got it.
Yep.
Is that what happens?
Yeah.
Because there's a scene where
he asks, that plutonium was mine and I got it for religious purposes.
Yeah, so he says, like, do you have the plutonium?
Where's the plutonium?
Yeah, and I think in the world of Bowfinger, Keith Kincaid is not supposed to have plutonium. Because when he says he has it, it floats.
He's not supposed to have plutonium because here's what the CIA is doing. Mm-hmm. This plutonium... It's just portable plutonium as an energy source to Keith Kincaid. That's what he's been thinking of it as. But they were going to assassinate him the night before at the presentation.
Oh, because it would destroy the fossil fuel industry.
And it would ruin the aliens. They're allergic to plutonium or whatever.
Right.
They hate the plutonium. So him forgetting that briefcase saved his life.
Yes.
And so now the CIA's had to go like, all right, Keith Kincaid, where's the plutonium? You didn't bring it last night. You must know we're onto you. We sent that alien assassin to fuck you to death last night.
Yep.
It didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
We sent Carol to do it.
Yep.
That didn't work. Yeah. You got freaked out by her because she fucked it.
Yep.
Give us the plutonium, motherfucker.
Here's a little wrinkle. Here's another line that...
God damn it.
Todd Delmonico... Not a huge wrinkle, but something we have to factor in.
Okay.
Todd Delmonico then says to him, Freddy's about to have his guts replaced with alien hardware.
So
who's Freddy?
Freddy is the name of the Swedish woman, but his. He says his.
Yeah, and she shows up in this scene and she shoots Todd Delmonico.
That's right.
And they do show... No, you don't see Freddy, do you?
No. Nah.
Okay.
Because they, in Bowfinger, they get him out of the way before they film the scene.
That's right.
They chloroform him into the bushes.
Okay, well, Freddy could just be a character who's introduced a bit earlier then, who's like been working on the plutonium thing with...
Yeah, just another actual scientist.
A colleague, yeah. He's like his little sidekick guy when he turns up. And he, yeah, okay, so he... Maybe at the convention, he goes missing.
Yeah.
And he's like, and
he's like, where's Freddy? Freddy could have helped me.
Yeah, he's looking, he's like, oh, I've forgotten my notes. Maybe
everyone's abandoned me today.
Yeah.
Freddy has like a, Freddy has the notes as well. Where's he?
Where's and Freddy? They're like, Freddy's not here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Freddy gone. Freddy having Freddy his
gone.
Guts.
Freddy gone. Freddy gone.
Freddy having his guts replaced with alien
Freddy
hardware.
Freddy got fingered.
So
that's coming out similar time.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're trying to
maybe Tom Green plays Freddy.
Oh god, because
we don't we never see Freddy.
There is a fake movie in Freddy Got Fingered.
Oh,
anyway. Oh nice.
Oh yes, an excuse to rewatch. Yes, I have an excuse to make my girlfriend watch Freddy Got Fingered with me. Yes,
yes.
So okay, guts replaced with alien hardware. So the CIA, are they also trying to make like a human alien hybrid?
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yes. Sure. Yes. Yep.
The alien hardware is a mini disc player.
Yeah.
They're going to make him a human mini disc
like
player.
Like that character from Transformers.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
It's Soundwave.
Soundwave, yeah.
But his belly is a mini disc player.
Yeah.
Because they're like, will that work? We're the CIA. We're fucking weird in this movie.
Yep. 128 kilobytes per second Soundwave.
Right. So they're doing, they're replacing the guts with alien hardware, and that's taking a while because it's like, again, they have to kind of record it in real time. So it's like all the, every bit of dialogue that he's ever going to say in his life, they have to just have on a tape.
They have to wait for the song that they want to record on their mini disc to come on the radio so they can press record. Yeah. So he's got a little bit of time, but time is running out.
And he mostly talks like Howard Stern.
Yeah. Sure. And then go back through and like put in the track marks yourself for all the pauses.
Yeah.
They were good.
He says, we've got it. Freddy's about to have his go. And he's like, what do you mean, Freddy? What's going on here? Give us the plutonium, Keith Kincaid. Out pops Heather Graham, shoots the CIA agent.
Yep.
And she's like, come with me, I'll explain everything. Da ba 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 ba.
Yes.
They get into a car and they're driving.
Mm-hmm.
And Heather Graham's like, okay, when you left the house a little earlier, they came around looking for you. They tried to get me, but luckily, I used to be a shooter back in Sweden.
Maybe
professional
she was...
Olympic shooter.
Yep.
Oh, okay,
yep.
I was going to say like a police cadet or something.
That makes more sense.
Right? Like something that you could do.
Either clay pigeons briefly. Or police cadet.
Professional Olympics shooter.
Yeah.
Being so happy to just use their training to just kill someone
right.
straight away.
Yeah, she was like, well, I was in the Swedish police, you know, and like they don't shoot anyone. There's not a lot of crimes and a lot of violent crimes in Sweden, so I left for America. Finally, I get to use my skills of shooting people.
Great.
So I came to LA, but the only job I could get was an assistant because they're like, no, 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 no. The cop stuff here is we've got a system.
Yeah.
It's not good.
The only job I could get was the assistant of the head of plutonium.
But so she was in the house when the CIA came round, and I guess she heard them talking or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so
we can have this as a flashback. And she voiceover over the top in the car.
She was hiding in, she fell into the linen closet, so luckily wasn't visible.
Yep.
You know, that sort of thing.
Yep.
Overheard them very casually just speaking about exactly what they were doing there.
Apparently that is common for the CIA to do and have it recorded. So
we ever catch that Freddy guy?
Yeah.
Start putting a mini disc in his guts?
Oh, because we're working with the aliens. Yeah, because of
aliens,
that. Yeah,
the ones who come down in the rain. And then they infect people, and when you have sex with them, you die.
Yeah, yep.
And that's like their food.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. Yeah, I forgot some of the details, but yeah.
Pretty crazy stuff. Tell you what, wish my wife was one of those aliens so I'd have an excuse not to have sex with her.
Hey,
that's a classic 90s.
She got that bad puss.
Oh, man.
Fuck, you're funny. That's awesome. What a sick thing to say to a mate. That's so good. I'm loving this chat.
Yeah, we all hate our wives, and we're working with the aliens.
God, remember when we tried to assassinate Fidel Castro all those times?
Yeah. What's going on? With Guatemala lately? Are we doing anything with that still? What's the deal?
So she's got the plan.
She's overheard it. She ran down here. She knows the CIA's in on it. They're driving.
Yep.
And she's like, I don't know where Freddy is.
Oh, maybe the CIA scene ends with like, and God, you remember what we did with JFK? Yeah, and then it just cuts.
Yeah. Yeah, we tried to save his life when Oswald murdered. So, she's heard a lot of the plan, and
she fills in Keith.
Yeah, so they've got these aliens here who I guess they're trying to have sex with people, and then he's like, "Oh no! Last night that must have been an alien that I had sex with. I'm going to die. She's like, no, the CIA people said, for some reason, the people die immediately from it.
Yes.
Yep. Almost immediately.
Their faces start melting, arm falls off.
Yeah. And he's like, well, that hasn't happened to me. Why? How?
Unless I had a third arm I wasn't aware of, it hasn't happened to me.
Which, hey, I got a third leg and that alien found out, but I don't have a third
She's
arm.
She's like, I wish I could have found out. She's still pining away.
Yeah. I guess maybe, what does that mean? Do you think I could be immune? She's like, that's crazy. Freddy would know.
It's pronounced a mute. You've been talking this whole time.
So I don't think that is it. He's like, no, no, no.
Immune.
Immune. But Freddy might be able to figure this out. He's always been the brains. Yep. Freddy's smart. So they got to go find Freddy now.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So
what other scenes do we have to check off as well? We might be able to wedge some in here.
I think we've got the rooftop at the end.
Of course. Of course. I don't think we're going to wedge the end in...
To the middle?
Act two, yeah.
No, I agree.
Well, we've got the freeway chase.
Yes.
And there's the alien in the boot of the car with a gun.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when that cop is like, you know, his face melts. He's like, I knew I shouldn't have slept with the aliens.
So maybe that's now.
Yeah, that could be now.
Car chase?
They're in a car driving away from when they shot the CIA person.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe boom, they get hit by a car from behind. One of those big CIA trucks is after them.
Yep.
Big car chase. Yeah, you got it.
So indulgent.
Big car chase.
What happens in that scene? I remember that he's in the boot with a big silver gun.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who is he shooting at and where is he? Which car?
He's in... So Keith Kincaid is in the car and that car is in front of them.
Yeah.
That's right. It's all spray painted black, right?
Yeah.
And it's sort of driving backwards.
Yeah.
It's driving backwards. So do you think they're in the car? They're driving to find Freddy.
They're driving along. And I guess, yeah, that car comes from in front.
Yeah.
And the boot pops open.
Yes.
And here is...
An alien.
I guess it's an alien, but they infect humans too. So it's just a guy dressed in silver in
I believe
world.
It is, yes.
Okay. So you... Okay,
maybe
so
this
you
is a robot that the aliens own.
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, I mean, it's an alien.
It could just be a different shape of alien.
Yeah, or it's an alien that's possessed a person and then in the alien brain, it's like, I'm going to... I mean, I want, you know, I want to lean in, you know?
I'm going to dress up in tinfoil.
Yeah.
So someone controlled by an alien, he's trying to shoot at them. They end up getting pulled over by these cops.
Yes.
And the cops get out and they're like, you don't understand, cops. There's aliens coming at us. They get you if you have sex with them. The cops are like, huh, well, doesn't bother us because there's no way we'd be having sex with people on the job.
Yep.
Abusing our position as police officers.
His arm falls off.
Yeah.
Because, you know what? Like, I think this really does work with this guy in the silver suit because maybe the aliens, when we see them on the ship, they're sort of like, they don't really have a physical form. They're like a kind of a... ephemeral, they're a gas or whatever.
Yep.
That's why it's so easy for them to be in the raindrops.
But and what about the little crazy frogs?
Well, a liquid.
Yeah.
I guess if they're in the raindrops, maybe they are the raindrops.
But that's why they're loving being in these human bodies. They're like, we can fuck. And that's why this guy's like, oh, I want to dress up. I want to be in a costume.
Yeah.
I've never had a physical form before.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe they're just little crazy frog molecules.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. When you zoom in, they look like crazy frogs, but it's like a liquid. Like how a cell looks like it has a physical form.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a liquid.
Okay, so this cop goes...
I don't know if cells are like a liquid.
Inside they are. There's a lot of... They're mainly liquid.
I mean,
like
they
us.
Make up liquid, so...
They got like a little thing around them, like a jube.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're like a jube.
Physicists, biologists... message us and tell us what a cell is made of.
I think a lot of cells are pretty liquid.
I don't know. But okay, with their cells, their molecules.
It's awesome that this cop, he starts melting and then he goes, oh, I knew I shouldn't have had sex with the alien. Just like very exposition-y about what causes this when it's like, yeah, we've been talking about this nonstop for 45 minutes in this movie so far.
But that's how he honestly feels.
Yeah.
That's what you would say, right?
Because of the corruption on this police force, and I hope people don't find out the circumstances in which I was having sex with a man.
Right.
And then I guess, does the other cop die in that one?
No,
does
he melt? Think so.
I think that Keith and his companion just run away.
Yeah, so that maybe the alien pops out of the boot and shoots that other cop.
Okay.
Giving them the chance to be like, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Run across the highway.
Is this the scene where... Oh, maybe it is. Yeah, because there's a bit... I think it is this bit where they're filming a scene in Bowfinger and Heather Graham's character has to get Keith... has to get Kit to get into the car with her. And this is the bit where Steve Martin says to her, like, now look, he's not going to want to get into the car with you. And she's like, yeah, because he doesn't know he's being filmed. I've worked it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so is that... I think that's this bit where this all happens and then she pulls up in the car and he just gets in because he's like, this is all fucked. I'm, yeah, whatever, I'll go with you.
Right.
So I think that... So he's been driving separately and all this has happened, and then she comes along.
No, because she's had to tell him all this stuff. They pull over and she runs away, gets a different car.
But that can happen in the thing, and then the car chase is really long, and at some point during that car chase, they get separated.
Okay. They
end up having to jump into different cars.
Yeah,
perfect.
Sure.
And he does the highway run at that point because he's alone for that.
Yes, that scene of him crossing the freeway.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's back during the car chase.
He has to get out, runs across the highway, then the cop thing happens in different car that
he gets
in.
Changed.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he then
his clothes.
She pulls back up and she's like, I found another car, get in. So this happens though during the cop bit. He's like, where's Freddy? Tell me where Freddy is, alien.
Yep.
He somehow has to get one over on the alien.
Yeah.
He starts pulling all the aluminium foil off.
Yep.
And the alien underneath it is just like holding a super soaker or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know what? You got me. I thought if I covered it in aluminium foil.
How is that putting bullet holes in the car?
Well, because in the super soaker is aliens.
So
it's actually really dangerous.
Yeah.
But
this is
immune.
Like reverse of Signs, the movie Signs. Aliens were allergic to water and these aliens are.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So maybe he spurts the water in that other cop's mouth and that cop's an alien.
Yep.
But he tries to get in Eddie Murphy's mouth and he's just like...
He squirts it in the other cop's mouth and then he jerks him off really quickly and then he dies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, great.
He shoots water in his mouth, then he's like...
Yeah.
And then that cop dies.
Yeah.
And then...
Fucking hell.
At least I went out the way I wanted to. Blah.
But so he's squirting all the water at Keith Kincaid.
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. Because he's got the portable plutonium.
Yep.
Heather Graham pulls up.
Mm-hmm.
He's beaten up the alien, been like, hey, where's... And because these
where's
aliens
Freddy?
Don't normally have physical form.
Right.
Getting beaten up fucking hurts.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's never felt pain before, this alien.
God, what a dream.
So he's immediately like, oh my God, Freddy is in a warehouse.
Yes.
This sucks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Freddy is at this like weird observatory.
Yeah.
Right, because I believe that when Heather Graham picks him up in the car... In Bowfinger, it's then she's taking him straight to the observatory for the conclusion of the movie.
Yes.
For the antenna bit. However,
there
is also a period in Bowfinger where Heather Graham wants to rewrite the film.
Yeah.
And they add in some hot, steamy scenes.
That's right.
Between her and Keith Kincaid.
Yes.
And there's also a scene that she's doing with Keith. Where the direction from Steve Martin is, you're not sure if you still love Keith, but you're offering yourself to him to save the planet.
Okay, here's what happens.
So I think on the way to the observatory,
they pull
stop
off into
and
a
we
motel.
Get a, yeah, we get a big fuck montage happening here.
And here's why the fuck montage happened. She's like, this has been crazy. I know you don't love me from these events, so I feel weird about it, but here's the thing. You're clearly immune to the fucking. I've been around the plutonium too.
Yes.
You got the alien water in your mouth just then. You need to fuck me to see if the plutonium is the answer.
Yeah.
Because if I die, we know that we've got to do something else about the aliens.
Right. It's just Keith who's special. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If I don't die, it's the plutonium.
Yep.
So.
You've got to fuck me to save the world.
We've got to fuck, and it's got to go for 40 minutes of this movie. And
yes.
All this.
And when
they wrote a lot of... He had a big thick thing when he's like the new pages.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when he's... And when she's... When the direction being, you're not sure if you're still in love with him. Maybe it's like... Because he's been... When he was describing to her having sex with the alien.
Yep.
And then him not dying afterwards. He really went into like pretty explicit detail and was like pretty uncool about it.
Yeah.
Like he was like, you should have seen her. She was just, I knew she was hurting for a squirt as soon as that. She's like, oh, this guy's a bit of a piece of shit. He's really disrespectful. Like I can't believe I ever was like into him. So she's sort of, She's been a bit turned off by the very crass way that he was talking about having sex with this alien.
During the car chase, his phone's connected to the Bluetooth and started auto-playing like the Jordan Peterson 12 Rules for Life book.
Yes.
And like, they don't have mini disc yet, but this car has Bluetooth.
He had it on cassette.
He's got right.
There's been a couple of those things.
Yep.
She remembered at his house he didn't have books.
Oh.
So he's trying to find like something in his phone. Would that stack? No, mobile phone. No, not really.
He's calling someone to ask about whatever this is.
No, I was like, he'd be going through his phone to find something else, and he's like, she just sees that he's like, he's just filmed them having sex with the alien without her knowledge. Just
he can have a handy cam in his. You can rewatch. I mean,
this
you
is
know.
Yeah, he's got a camcorder in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's really awful at
he's
this point.
He's a real sack of shit.
Yeah.
Which is bold filmmaking by us that we now have a hero that the audience are not into either.
yeah.
He could. What are some other little red flag things he could do in the car? We really want to make her not sure, I guess. Here.
Yeah.
That's plenty. Red flag. So they stop at this thing. And
he mentions words in front of them. He's like, "Boy, let me guess the nationality of the person driving that car."
Sure.
Well, fuck off! Fuck off! Yeah. Fuck off!
I should ask some of my friends for advice, and I only have male friends.
I love pineapple on pizza.
This is gonna get so many updutes when I put it on r/idiots in cars. Fuck off! Cut me off! Fuck off!
All right, that's probably enough. That's painting a picture. Yeah.
You catch King of Queens the other day.
So they swerve into a motel. They set up this thing as to find out if it's plutonium.
Here's the portable plutonium, and testing out whether this is the immunity. Turns out that it is.
Yes.
Yep.
They're all fine. She leaves, so they're like, okay. Let's go find...
Immediately jump back in the car and screech up the highway, right?
Exactly.
Because this... I mean, in Bowfinger, it's filmed as one continuous sequence, isn't it?
It's nighttime by the time they get to the observatory.
Yeah, it goes straight to the observatory. Yeah, I mean, we don't see the sex stuff happening at that. But they filmed it all as one big thing, and then they could have cut in, you know, because they've done that separately.
Yes.
Because we'll get to the observatory, which is where Freddy is as well.
Okay.
And they go. That's where they found out Freddy is. They go in, and you know, action scene, I guess, of knocking out some aliens on the way.
Yep. Carol's on the roof.
It's soon,
right?
Because Freddy's inside, I guess.
Yeah,
and they find Freddy like tied to a chair, and he's got the mini disc player installed in his guts.
Yeah,
like, Freddy, are you okay? And he pushes a button, and he's like, "I'm not." And it's a song. It's like a little clip of a song.
Yeah.
And then they...
I'm not that so innocent.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And he can only communicate through what's recorded on the mini disc in his...
Well, they arrive and he goes, "Welcome to the Hotel California." And they're like, I guess that kind of fits.
And then when we bring out the soundtrack to this movie, it's like all the songs on there are just like 4-second clips.
Yes.
Freddy, is this going to be an alien invasion? It's gonna be.
Okay, all right.
Soundtrack only comes out on mini-disc too.
Right.
No other formats.
Of course, yeah.
Freddy, you've been surely listening to them and stuff. Why have they been doing this to you? He's like...
you went into it without one?
Yeah. Well, it's 3 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, is it getting late? Do we need to do something about it soon? Yeah.
How long have they had you a captive? It's been 1 week. Okay.
Yep. Pretty good. That's right around... That's like...
Yeah,
we're trying
right
again.
Time,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Freddy, oh my god, they've torn up your guts. Well, I don't want the world to see me.
Yeah.
It's a poorly recorded live version where he didn't quite hit the note.
Yeah.
And they talk to him and
after that point, they just talk. He doesn't talk again.
And maybe through a series of some more songs that are in the movie, but we don't have to think
this
of
like
now.
This 1 minute scene has cost us like millions of dollars in licensing at this point, so he can't talk anymore.
What? Royalty free. birthday to you. Sings happy birthday to him.
Not at the time. Michael Jackson owned it at the time.
True.
So he explains to them through song that the aliens, their plan, whatever it is. And they go, well, we've got this plutonium, the portable plutonium. It works as, it makes you immune to it.
Yeah.
Could we distribute that? And he's like, How would we let people know? Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
There's an antenna outside. We could broadcast the news.
Yeah.
Via the antenna.
No, these aren't different clips. This is just like a, you know, this is a song that's made for the film.
Yeah. Right, this is from the original soundtrack.
In it. Okay, so it's like, yeah, this is, we've put this out a few months before. Hopefully it's become a huge hit. And then people in the film are watching it being like, yeah, I've heard that song on the radio.
This is the
that
Men in Black. Will Smith's Men in Black song. Yeah.
And he pops out the mini disc and hands it to them. They're like, what do you mean? What's going on? And he's like, he points to it, then points to the antenna. And they're like, broadcast this. And he's like, nods. And then dies. Freddie dies of his, you know.
Because it's part of his guts.
Pretty shoddy.
It's his heart.
Yeah. Yes.
And so this mini disc is the mini disc that the CIA wanted.
Yeah. Yep.
And they're like, why is this? And we run up. And they've got to get to the antenna. There's Carol up there. He's got to face his past.
Yes.
Maybe he ditched Carol a little meanly and a little selfishly.
Well, he lied. He said he was going to grow soybeans.
So he's got guilt about regular Carol and then fear of alien Carol.
Yeah.
And it all gets dealt with by her head getting chopped off by Heather Graham. And he's like, all right, I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, you took care of it for me.
I guess my emotional issues with my ex were foisted onto my new partner. That's weird. Runs up to the observatory and goes to the mini disc plug where this thing is.
Yes.
And it plays the thing that the CIA wanted, which is an admission from these aliens that their weakness is plutonium.
Okay.
And that's why the CIA wanted it. They wanted a little something to have, you know?
Yep.
It's like the equivalent of filming a guy exposing himself to the LA Lakers cheerleaders.
Absolutely.
You can blackmail the aliens with that.
Right.
So these aliens have been like, well, if we get to invade to a certain amount, you can have it because then we'll trust you.
Right.
He broadcasts that to the world
through
this alien antenna, which they were going to broadcast like 90210 or whatever, like horny shows of the 90s to make people fuck more.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I see. Yep.
The Black Label Seinfeld episode.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
90210, a horny show.
Melrose Place, maybe I was thinking of.
Yeah. I guess for the time, yeah.
What were the horniest shows of the 90s?
Horniest show 99.
Dr. Phil.
Oh, what about
yes.
Were Angel and Buffy kind of horny? They were like...
A little bit.
Yeah,
to a certain type.
Like,
Charmed. If you had a lip ring, you found those horny.
Yeah.
But anyway, they were going to do that. That's why the alien antenna is there. Now they're broadcasting out this mini disc, which has a recording, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. And that's
aliens
all done
have invaded
from
Earth.
I think it should still all be Freddy... Like, it should all be clips from songs.
Yeah. Freddie's cut it together while he's been down there, just
it explains,
in case.
Yeah.
Easy to do with the mini disc.
Yeah.
in hardware editing software.
Aliens have invaded the Earth. You must have plutonium on you at all times to make you immune. Everyone finds out.
Yeah.
And the aliens are like, God damn it.
How to Build an Atomic Bomb hasn't come out yet, has it? The U2 album.
No, it's a few years away.
Maybe the demo. Maybe the demo.
I like that last one was someone going, hey. And then the word, someone saying the word mune. Commonly used word, mune.
Blue mune. I saw you standing alone. There you go.
Mune.
Somehow it's cut together. We find and get the rights to the appropriate songs.
Yep.
But the explanation goes out to the world that aliens have invaded. You need to have your personal plutonium on you as a contraceptive for aliens.
Right, exactly, yeah.
They all
and don't no one have sex in case, just in case. Yeah.
And he screams to the sky, Keith Kincaid looks up to the stars above and yells out, gotcha, suckers!
And we're in the script because to reference their plot to have heaps of sex, the original line is, gotcha, suckers and fuckers.
Oh. Exactly.
But the studio
in
were
the
like,
plain
that's,
version,
we can't.
They don't say fuckers.
Exactly,
No, well, the studio makers change it because they're like, we've We've given you the concession of a 40-minute explicit sex scene.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't... I'm
sorry. Sony, EMI, all these record companies are invested now.
Yeah.
They don't want you to do it.
You can't say suckers and fuckers.
Yeah.
We want a catchphrase that we can put in the ads and stuff. And, you know, we can't have it be too explicit.
Yeah. So I like that. It was originally gotcha suckers and fuckers. Unfortunately, the artistic vision of this film doesn't get fully realized.
Right.
No.
But... there you go.
I guess they do still say suckers, and it's implying people sucking
dicks.
But in the movie, it goes, gotcha suckers and foot. The ending. I guess that's the end of the movie.
I'm having a little scan to make sure we haven't forgotten anything.
Great.
That's there. The boot with the gun, the antenna, the decapitating. Todd Delmonico. Yeah, that's it. We did it.
Fuck yeah.
That's Chubby Rain.
That's Chubby Rain. I would watch the shit out of this movie.
Honestly, that's fucking
this is
awesome.
Good.
Do we want to have a stinger, a post credits? We like to set up a sequel, whether or not we end up making them.
I don't think this needs it.
It's a self-contained, beautiful sci-fi story.
Yeah. I think Keith Kincaid won't be back.
Yeah.
It sounds like this.
Him and his... still unnamed partner.
Yeah.
Who, I guess, they're not going to be together after this. It's been weird for them.
Yeah.
But there's there are a couple of other fake movies in Bowfinger that we could do somewhere along the line. There's Fake Person Ninjas is the kind of end sequence that you see. And there's also a big poster to illustrate the star power of Kit Ramsey called Explicit Endeavor.
Yes. I like that one. I think we could do a good... more generic action movie with an Eddie Murphy type star.
I think avoiding fake purse ninjas would be my preference.
Yeah. I did. When it came up, I was like, here we go. And then it's like, oh, this is dodgy stuff.
Yeah. But that's Chubby Rain. You always wondered what the entire movie was going to be like.
Now you know.
Here comes the trailer.
In a galaxy far away, a species of aliens have hatched a plan.
This alien technology is unlike anything we've ever seen.
To come down to Earth in raindrops.
It's like a CD player, but the music is on this little floppy disk kind of thing.
And completely screw the planet Earth.
So what, you buy these discs in the stores?
Well, you buy them blank, and then you have to put the music on there yourself by recording it from a CD player or a computer.
And now, there is only one man who can stop them.
Isn't that more annoying than just listening to the music on the CD that you already own? It's so many extra steps.
That's what you get for trying to stand in the way of the minidisc. The most flawless technology that's ever existed and will undoubtedly stand the test of time.
Kit Ramsey is Keith Kincaid in Chubby Rain. Nuck coming soon to theaters.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.